You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff, all coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Jam-packed show for you today. Coming up next hour, Brittany Merlot is back for a little weather and wine.
Yeah.
Much cooler today. We had a whole bunch of rain yesterday. And Brittany will be checking in, let us know what's coming to Wisconsin across the weekend. We will talk all things sports. We don't even have to talk about yesterday's game.
What game? I don't know about any game.
There you go.
There's no game that happened yesterday.
The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be here to not talk about yesterday's baseball game. We will talk all other things sports. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Terminator Bunny edition. Ooh. I encourage you to stick around for that. That's, again, at the very end of the show, around 10:51-ish. Delighted to have him here to kick off the show. He is actually a working attorney who has a real job where he does attorney things. Jim Santel is here. Normally, Jim, you join us after 9:30, but you squeezed us in because you are, again, a working lawyer. So we really appreciate you doing some adjusting for us. I want to jump into this right away while we have you about Jeffrey Epstein and the Jeffrey Epstein files. Now, yesterday, U.S. Senate Democrats started a little-known legal path trying to force the Trump administration to release these files using a century-old law requiring the executive branch to comply if five senators on a committee sign on to this request. So what's your feel? I mean, where are we with this? What's going to happen with the Epstein files?
And so this is an appropriate aspect for the Congress to undertake, right? It falls very generally under the view of oversight, right? You want to have the Congress who's looking at the executive branch. We do this fairly routinely. They're invoking here, Jane and Greg, a longstanding procedure that contemplates that if you've got the requisite number of senators or members of the House of Representatives, you can make this request. And yes, indeed, and here's the rub, as you can anticipate, the government, the executive branch, is obliged to respond to that in some way. They can make certain objections to certain national security things, some things may be privileged. The question, of course, is, again, you've written a letter. So they've written a letter to the Attorney General saying, produce these materials. We'd like to see everything. We'd also like to see those reports of the interview just last week, this very curious thing involving our Deputy Attorney General going to Tallahassee to sit down with her. We can chat more about
yes.
the curious nature of that.
Yes.
They want all things. And again, it's an appropriate request coming from the United States Congress. The question that I have, as you have had and Greg's had and all listeners have had, will this government comply? Will the Attorney General say, as apparently others have said inside the Department of Justice, including a fellow who's apparently going to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, judges and authorities don't have to be followed. And so my strong sense is that they will write back and say that they, meaning the Attorney General and others, thank you very much for your inquiry. Maybe they'll produce some information, but probably more likely not, given the fact that this is all so much embroiled in, I hate to say it, silliness on all sides. We can bring this to an end fairly quickly. Release, again, it's going to be thousands and thousands of pages. These are not the grand jury materials, they never were, but there are all kinds of reports of interviews and all kinds of things, maybe photographs, maybe records of writings. All of that related to the underlying criminal investigation and the charges against Maxwell and Epstein. You're not going to find in even that file, unless somebody's thrown in some odd notes here, things about these conspiracies within conspiracies, that somehow it is Hillary Clinton who's responsible for the Epstein death, or that there are other things going on out there that just make no sense at all. It's going to be an investigative file that reflects what the investigation found. That's also reflected in the grand jury indictments against Epstein and Maxwell. She plainly convicted of that. He commits suicide before that conviction can be had and the trial can be conducted. And that's what you're going to get I think it's good to produce it just to bring this craziness to an end. It goes to the larger issue of what are we doing here? What are we doing here as a country?
If you're just joining us on Matt and Aaron on Air, Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review Saturdays from 9 to 11 across the network, is our guest. And we're trying to break down a little bit the Jeffrey Epstein story. He's still dead, and this story still won't go away as much as some people might want it to do so. My question, Jim, among many, this whole argument that they cannot release these files because they don't want to re-victimize the victims and they don't want the victims' names released, those can be redacted. That seems to me a pretty disingenuous argument.
It is, and it's disingenuous across the board, all kinds of things, even in grand jury indictments, public pleadings, criminal and civil. Typically, the most you do, I spend a lot of time practicing in children's court as well. You can protect the identity of people by indicating what their initials are. You can do those infamous black blocks that eliminate the information itself. We've seen that a lot in the past. That is not an argument against the production of this. Again, is there any continuing law enforcement purpose as to any of this? I don't think so, but perhaps to satisfy or probably not satisfy an awful lot of Americans, produce these things with those redactions. Other things may be in that file that should not be produced, investigative results, those kinds of things. But the reality is that there is nothing more to do here. And it's concerning to me, number one, that our Department of Justice and all of us candidly are spending all this time focusing on what is a tragedy, undeniably a tragedy. I've always said this. Criminal prosecution of everybody out there with respect to whoever your defendant is, it's a human tragedy. My recommendation to the Attorney General and to others here at the Department of Justice, produce those files that you can produce without compromising the integrity of the file. Let people go through them. We'll spend another week sorting through things that perhaps have not been known in the past, and then we can move on. The other thing about this, as I indicated, that's of great concern to me is this notion that my deputy Attorney General spent some time, maybe a couple of days, curiously sitting down with Ghislaine Maxwell.
Alone.
What? Alone, apparently. I'm hoping there was somebody in the room, but it appears he was alone, which is very curious. You never do that. You don't have the deputy attorney general. It's not an investigator. He can do it. He's a lawyer.
But that's not also typical. That's not typical,
that's
Jim,
not
right?
That's not typical. Right. When Eric Holder was working for Janet Reno, he was not out there doing investigative interviews. And that, frankly, applies to everybody down the road. The other concern I have about this is why him, and of course the reality is he was the president's former attorney, he still has an attorney-client relationship, a private attorney-client relationship with the president of the United States of America. That never goes away. The things that Donald Trump told him in connection with the prosecution in New York, that continues. Now, we don't know what that is. We never should know what that is, Jane, because that's the nature of the privilege. But Todd Blanche does. And the concern that I have is, what things does the investigator here, who's the deputy attorney general, know about the president's past history that could animate his present official work here? There are so many curiosities about this. Why are we doing this? We're doing this, as you've indicated in other broadcasts, because apparently Ghislaine Maxwell is making these demands now. She wants everything, and then she'll talk. And that's hopefully not going to happen, but this is all political. It's not law enforcement related. It's curious. It's contrary to the way the Department of Justice works. And I'm still scratching my head and will continue to do so.
And Jim, that's something that keeps on going on in my mind. I can't believe I didn't realize this before, but let's just play a scenario that Ghislaine Maxwell says what she needs to say, gets a pardon. That doesn't make the case go away, right? Like, the crimes have still been committed, or does that just mean everything in the files are just like, we have the files, but nothing can be done to prosecute anyone on anything, because if she is found or if she is pardoned, there's nothing to prosecute or even investigate in the first place.
Right. It is so odd, right, Greg, that we're even having this conversation. A pardon, again, doesn't erase history. You're absolutely right. Are those crimes still committed? You bet. And talk to the victims out there. Do the files reflect that investigation? Of course they will. And that will remain the case for all time. As to her, a pardon, an order of clemency from the president, if he chooses to do that, unwisely. This is not a merit-based pardon request at all. But if he chooses to do that, her conviction and the judgment against her, which she's now appealing, that gets removed. Again, not from the annals of history, but from legal records. And so the effect of a pardon is to lift from her all of the burdens that go along with a federal criminal conviction. She also wants, apparently, she wants immunity, which of course would go along with that. She obviously asking for all kinds of things. And she said, I'll be happy to talk if you'll give me all of these things. Get me out of jail. She's complained about that. And this is an approach that, again, what is she bargaining from? She's been convicted. She is spending time right now in prison. What is it that the administration with the Department of Justice wants investigatively from her? There's nothing more to look at here aside from some political animation by the president, who has already told the Department of Justice, look for anything you possibly find out there. And that maybe what? Exonerate me? Would minimize my relationship?
Or make my opponents look bad.
Make my opponents look bad. Is any of that law enforcement related? No, it's partisan politics, which Washington and other places do. I get that completely. So many things about this, including, frankly, if we do go down the pardon road, pardons, they're produced and they're given for people typically 5 years out after a conviction, showing something about your life, that you have put that behind yourself. You've done things, good things in the community. You've enhanced yourself. You've helped other people. This is a conviction where the ink is still wet and she's still seeking remedies, habeas corpus. She wants review by the Supreme Court. This is not someone who would typically be in the category of receiving a pardon for now, a life well lived in the wake of criminal conduct. But this president has issued pardons in that capacity, in that way, for many other people. This would be just the latest one.
Attorney Jim Santel is our guest on Matt Nair on Air. We're talking about the ongoing Epstein files case. My big question, Jim, is on both sides, Democrats and Republicans seem to be going around who they should be calling to talk to. Why haven't we subpoenaed Bill Barr? Why hasn't Alex Acosta been subpoenaed? Alex Acosta is a Florida official who made that first sweetheart deal with Jeffrey Epstein, where he was able to go out and spend his day out with no ankle monitor, no nothing, all of this stuff that he got. Alex Acosta set up that deal and then went to work in the Trump administration, in an agency that oversees sex trafficking. That, to me, is why hasn't anyone asked to talk to him?
And the answer is yes, yes, and yes, right? All that should be done as a part of what? Not anticipating the criminal charging of anyone, but Congress finding out how the Department of Justice is working now, has worked in the past. That's its oversight capacity. Does that sometimes partake of political aspects? You bet it does. But that's the kind of thing that Congress can do. It's not a matter for a grand jury, criminal investigation anymore. And so pursue that. Absolutely.
Another justice has been appointed that should give us all pause. We'll talk that. We'll kick that around with Jim Santel. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Joining us a little earlier than usual because he is a working attorney, our friend and colleague here at Civic Media, Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a Law Review, is joining us. In the time we have left, Jim, we wanted to talk a little bit about Emil Beauvais, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He was just confirmed this week by the Senate for lifetime tenure on the Third Circuit Appeals Court. And there were several, at least three whistleblowers that came out against this man.
Three whistleblowers inside the U.S. Department of Justice at the time of meetings, maybe other conversations, in which a man who is now, Jane, as you accurately said, going to be in a court just one below the United States Supreme Court, What did he, with some fair reliability now, say to Department of Justice lawyers about how they conduct themselves in our federal courts? He said, you know what? You don't have to follow what federal judges tell you to do. I will not use the word on this fine program, but he said, when they ask you to do something that is contrary to our plan, our policy, the president's practice, and by the way, the Department of Justice is now the president's lawyers, not our lawyers, you can tell that judge F you. And again, the one of the attorneys who was there filed this initial whistleblower complaint, corroborated now by others, putting aside the language itself. It is the significance of that direction to anyone inside government, including lawyers of the Department of Justice who have an oath that they have taken to provide honest and truthful information. If you don't know, you say you don't know. If there are things that are protected, you identify that. But you don't simply tell judges, as we have seen since, well, frankly, early on in this administration, this notion you go into court. If a judge asks you a question, you deceive, you don't answer, you make up responses. You can get fired for saying things like, oh, Mr. Abrego Garcia, he was administratively removed. That can get you fired for being honest, as we know. And that I would offer to you, I think your question is so important, Jane, because it reflects on what's going on inside the Department of Justice these days. If you can't trust the Department of Justice lawyers to be honest and straightforward, that's the core of our entire government right there.
Well, and this was the concern well over a year and a half ago when we started talking about Project 2025, which essentially lays out the blueprint to fill the federal government with nothing but Trump loyalists. And this is what's happening. And as you said, Jim, it's no longer the American Department of Justice. This is Trump's Department of Justice, and they are working for Donald Trump, not the American people.
Absolutely. It is stunning to know that our Attorney General Pam Bondi has said that explicitly. She has said, we work for the president. And he has also said that the Department
they're
of Justice,
mine.
These are his, they're mine. They're his lawyers. This is his Roy Cohen, so to speak. He is, again, erased for years and years, generations. There has been this arm's length relationship. That has not been the case. You represent the people in the interests of the United States of America. That is a dramatic change. And it has an impact upon what happens in our courts and on the rights and positions of all of us. That's why this is so important. Now, Emile Bouvet on the Court of Appeals, I wonder out loud if there is an attorney for private sector, public sector, who is directed by the Court of Appeals to do something. Does that attorney invoke what Emile Bouvet said when he was inside the Department of Justice and say, Your Honor, I'm not going to do that.
I don't have to listen to you. Yeah. We are just about out of time, Jim. You are having an event in Wauwatosa tonight.
Yes, it's so open to everybody. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court, all kinds of cases. I can just show up. It's at the City Hall there, the Firefly Room.
The public library.
Yes, Wauwatosa. Exactly. Yeah. The public library, exactly. And open to anybody. You don't have to register. I'm delighted to have any guests who would like to show up.
Wonderful.
And there'll be cookies.
There'll be cookies and some beverages too.
Jim Santel tonight in Wauwatosa at the Wauwatosa Public Library. What time does it start, Jim?
6 o'clock.
Six o'clock tonight. Join Jim at the Wauwatosa Public Library in the Firefly Room and join him every Saturday morning, 9 to 11, across the network for Amicus the Law Review. Thank you so very much, Jim. We will see you in a week.
Always a pleasure, Jane and Greg. Take care.
You as well.
Thank you very much.
We have news coming up in just a little bit. Then when we return, prices. We have prices, but Jim's got to go. We know.
We're going to be talking about the prices are up again, and we saw this coming down the pike. We knew this was going to happen. Prices rise regardless. But CEOs have a darn good reason, Jane. A really darn good reason
as to why they're raising prices.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, and we're going to explain that really, really, really good reason. Yeah. After the news, and then next hour, right after the 10 o'clock news, Ron Johnson is back in the news.
We got a good clip. Like, this is the
We have a wonderful, wonderful clip from Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson. Yeah. That's coming up after 10 o'clock, and also a little Derek Van Orden update. That is all coming up in the next hour.
He stood next to the president.
He did. And the president couldn't find him. News is next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby, coming live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up next hour at this time, the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports, except about yesterday's game, because we're just going to pretend that didn't happen.
What game?
Exactly. Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports at the very end of the show, around 10:51. We'll wrap it up, as we always do, with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the Terminator Bunny Edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, we wanted to talk. Oh, I want to remind you, Todd Alba coming up today, 2 to 4 p.m. Yeah. He is live from WRCE in Richland Center, focusing on their Walk for Grace.
Wonderful.
This is something that they do every year. It's a wonderful, wonderful community fundraiser for people who are fighting cancer. So they have this great auction that's going on where they're raising money in Richland Center. It's been very successful so far. We can always help out and help raise some more money. So join Todd today at 2 o'clock. He's going to be joined by Phil Nee, Richland Center General Manager, host on the station's long involvement in this charity, this Walk with Grace. And then coming up after 2:30, Todd talks with June Nee, who is the chair of Walk with Grace. Todd Alba today, 2 to 4, coming to you live from WRCE in Richland Center. It's a great program.
Yeah.
Prices.
Yes.
Washington Post out with an article today, just came out about 5 minutes ago. Shoppers are stressed, but some brands are raising prices anyway. Citing tariffs, Procter & Gamble now will hike many of its prices, in a sign that other major retailers will be following suit. Procter & Gamble, which makes, I don't know, a third of everything.
Yeah, right.
Dawn dish soap, Charmin toilet paper, Crest toothpaste, Tide detergent. Procter & Gamble announcing today will raise prices on about a quarter of its products starting in August, partially because of the $1 billion hit in tariffs it expects to shell out annually.
Say that again, Jane.
The $1 billion tariff hit it expects annually.
I thought the other countries paid.
Yeah, that's not how tariffs work.
Oh.
Sorry. Company has not specified which products they'll be hiking their prices on, but said increases will be about 2.5% on average. And then we found this article from Brad Reed from Common Dreams. And this headline says, great cover. CEO is caught admitting they're using tariffs as an excuse to jack up prices. They wouldn't do that, would they?
Yeah, that turns out they would. Yeah,
they would.
Absolutely.
Pretty
absolutely.
Much,
it's, what we expected. It's what we knew was going to happen. It's what's happening because this is what they do.
Aaron Jagdfeld is the CEO of Generac Power Systems. He said on an earnings call earlier this year, quote, even if we have metals that weren't impacted directly by tariffs, the indirect effect of tariffs is that it gives steel producers and the mills and fabricators great cover for increased pricing in some cases. Great cover, Greg. This is great.
Do you ever ask yourself, why do they say things like this on earnings calls? Because I feel like whenever we hear insider information of an embarrassing sort like this, I don't even know if they're embarrassed. They probably feel no feelings.
No.
But it's always on earnings calls. And I'm like, you know that people can hear that, right? Like the words you're saying can be heard by other
people.
This isn't just like a I'm calling my mom type of thing. You're on a phone that's designated to talk to hundreds, if not thousands, of people. So maybe watch yourself or reword it or, I don't know, send it in a letter to somebody. But they always seem to admit it on earnings calls.
But again, what's going to happen? Nothing.
No, you're right.
Nothing. You're so right. Why hide it? Why try and cover it? It's like, this is great cover, dudes. Let's celebrate.
Way to go, Wisconsin-based company, Generac.
Some retailers have already started raising prices. According to the Washington Post, Walmart has targeted baby gear, kitchenware, and toys, stuff mostly made in China. Mm. Industry experts expect some groceries will soon follow. I don't know if you've gone shopping for beef lately.
Yes. Yep.
That kind of caught my attention the other day.
And to me, and this, I'm not paid by Big Beef. I'm just saying that if the prices are going up right now, it's time to explore your options as far as finding your meat from local sources then. Because, yeah, you will pay a little bit more for locally sourced meats.
It's worth it.
But I don't know if it's going to be such a great price disparity now that it just doesn't make sense to find yourself a good butcher or a good farm and get your meat there, because it's fresh, it's local, you're supporting directly to them, and you know what you're getting your money's worth.
So, I have friends who do that. You know, they'll go in with two other families, mm-hmm. and they'll buy half a cow.
Yeah,
and then I'll split that up.
Exactly. And yes, this is exact. This was going to happen regardless. Prices always go up. That's just what prices do. As things get more expensive to make, prices go up. That's understandable. But this is not the first time they have used an excuse to raise prices. And I'm just going to ask the public now, because last year and the years before that, when prices were going up, they were happy to point their fingers at Joe Biden.
Absolutely.
And say, it's Joe Biden's fault. It's the Democrats' fault. I'm paying $9 for toothpaste because of the Democrats. No, it was because the companies raised their prices. I mean, there were outside forces. There were supply chain issues. There was COVID. There was high demand. They took advantage of us. How do I know they took advantage of us, Jane? They admitted to it.
Yeah, there's kind of that.
Yes.
That little point there. The Trump administration's 50% steel and aluminum tariffs will lead to higher food and beverage packaging costs, because coffee tins and beer cans, mm-hmm. and soda cans,
yep.
all of that stuff can be affected. The Tax Foundation is a nonpartisan Washington-based think tank. It projects tariffs will affect almost 75% of U.S. food imports. Liquors, spirits, baked goods, coffee especially.
Coffee. Yeah. Coffee, yeah.
Fish and beer. And not to mention $27 avocados.
I think Jane, just the simple fix to it all is we just got to start making coffee in our own land.
If we just would make coffee.
Make the steel for the cans in our own place. We manufacture our own toothpaste. We got to manufacture our own toilet paper. All that needs to be done in the United States of America, Jane. The toys that we get our kids, make them in the United States only, and we'll be great. I don't know how we're going to do that. I have no idea. Well, but if I say it out loud, it sounds really good.
You will manifest it into reality.
Yes.
You just have to say it out loud.
Yes, exactly. So
another executive quoted in this report about CEOs sharing the little secret that they're going to hike prices because they can.
Yeah.
Matthew Stevenson is the CEO of auto parts maker Holley. He said, quote, "In the marketplace, we've seen price increases well in excess of what we put out into the market," adding that we've seen increases as high as 30% or more on some categories from some competitors. Mm-hmm. And again, they're saying this out loud in these earning calls. This has given us great cover to hike our prices.
Yeah.
The tariffs.
The tariffs are going to be, the tariffs were going to hike our prices regardless, because that's what tariffs do. That's, you know, it's not a smart, beautiful plan. It's not an elegant solution. That's for darn sure. But yeah, this is going to allow them to raise those prices just a little bit more and a little bit more, and we'll keep paying for them, because those things from Procter & Gamble, our lives won't end if we don't have them, but, you know,
you'll notice it, though.
Toilet paper, detergent, those are the things you need for everyday household.
Kind of staples.
You know, exactly. But you know, I mentioned before, this is not the first time they've done this, and the reason why I say they've admitted it, because in 2024, a story came out in Newsweek that Kroger admitted to price gouging because of the pandemic. They used supply chain issues. They used the pandemic. They used high demand. They used all those as reasons to raise their prices above the rate of inflation. They came out and admitted this. And what we need to do as a collective society is, I know that the immediate thought is to have outrage towards the government. And there is plenty of outrage to go around.
Without a doubt.
But we have to remember that these are private businesses that are making the decisions on their prices, that some of them are doing it based on what the tariffs are going to do to them. They have to react with is, which is pass those costs along to us. In these situations where we see them artificially inflating their prices due to, quote unquote, the tariffs, that's when we need to tell them with either our dollars or our voices, this is unfair, this is not good. And companies will listen. Walmart, Amazon, and Target last year lowered prices on items for sale because they saw the demand was high and they saw people were angry. And they were, and especially places like Walmart and Target, face boycotts due to like their DEI positions. Right. But you make a big enough noise, they may listen.
It's got to hurt, though.
It's got to hurt.
It's got to hurt.
And it's got to be collective. It's got to, I'm sorry, that's a socialist word, but it's got to be all of us together, regardless of who you voted for, because we all need toilet paper. We all need mouthwash. We all need these things just by our friends, family, and kids and whatnot. But we can't just simply point our fingers at the government and say, it's your fault. We can with regard to the tariffs.
We're talking about companies, some companies on earning calls with their shareholders, essentially saying, you know, this tariff thing, this has given us great cover to hike our prices anyway. Mm-hmm. Great. During Amazon's Prime Day event, according to the Washington Post, sales of backpacks, lunchboxes, binders, calculators, and children's clothing, people were trying to jump on this early to do their back-to-school shopping. Those were up 175% year over year. 175%. People with kids elementary through high school say they'll spend an average of $858 this year, down from last year, $874. They're also moving away from brand names and looking for deals.
Yeah.
And they're looking for deals.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what you got to do. And that's, I mean, that, and when I was a young kid, if you didn't have a JanSport bag, you were a social pariah. You had to have a JanSport bag. But nowadays, it doesn't matter because you just got to get what gets you through the year. And unfortunately, I mean, Prime Days, I tried to find a funny thing to talk about Prime Days with us on the show, but at the end of it for me was just like the prices weren't great. The selection was terrible. And I didn't need any of the stuff they were trying to sell me. But people are trying to find these back to school items. And luckily, there are a lot of programs out there where you can get free backpacks from organizations that are handing them out. But 175%.
That's a big jump.
That's a big dent in your kitchen table economy.
By the way, in case you're worried, and who isn't, about Procter & Gamble's fiscal situation.
Yeah.
P&G saw its net sales in its last year fiscal year quarter jump 2% to $20.9 billion. So they're obviously hurting. It's tough. You gotta pinch pennies, Greg.
Yeah,
pinch pennies when your profits are only $20 billion.
I'm thinking that maybe this isn't the year for me to buy a seventh boat.
Maybe hold off. Just give it a little time.
Maybe I'll get a smaller seventh boat.
That'll work. Coming up, Derek Van Orden, standing behind the President of the United States when he couldn't find him. Oops. All the details coming up. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Pop
Good morning and welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10 o'clock news, Senator Ron Johnson, Dan Schaefer brought this up yesterday when he was on the show. Legislative, what did he call it?
Demagoguery.
Thank you. Legislative demagoguery.
What a good word.
A new bill that would crack down on insider trading among members of Congress. And Rojo's against it.
And we'll find out why.
All the details coming up after the 10 o'clock news. Also next hour, Brittany Merlot will be here, civic media meteorologist with a little weather and wine. Know what we got coming up as we head into the weekend. The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be here at 10:35 to talk all things sports. And then we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing today, the Terminator Bunny edition. Mm-hmm. Stick around for that.
Yeah.
Wanted to spend a little time on this just because I found this headline amusing. This is from the Daily Beast, so I guess keep that in mind. Eric E. Forster with the byline, Trump struggles to find congressmen standing behind him. I hate when that happens. Keep losing these guys. They're running around everywhere. Now, yesterday, the president, sitting down, Derek Van Orden is over his right shoulder, and another lawmaker is over his left shoulder. President Donald Trump briefly lost track of the room on Wednesday, searching for a Republican lawmaker whose bill he was signing while he stood inches behind him. Donald Trump spoke for a good 2 minutes on the bill that Derek Van Orden co-sponsored about our veterans. I'm thrilled, he said, to be joined by the bill's sponsor, Congressman Derek Van Orden. Where's Derek? Derek, looking around the room. Standing just over his right shoulder, Van Orden appeared to say, I'm here, prompting the president to finally notice him.
I've been noticing him for...
Details.
I've been noticing him for years, and I don't get credit. That's what I'm going to say.
The thing, I mean, this is a good bill that got signed yesterday. It actually does help protect veterans from foreclosure.
That's great.
Which is a great thing.
Yep.
What maybe not everyone is aware of is that there was a similar program that was signed by President Biden in 2024.
But Jane, why would they get rid of it then?
Because when Donald Trump took office, he killed it in May. Yeah, there was a very, very similar measure to help out veterans so they wouldn't lose their homes to foreclosure. Mm-hmm. Biden administration got it done, enacted it in 2024. Donald Trump comes into office, kills it in May, and then comes up with this. Well, this is DVO, and John Ossoff, I believe, was the other co-author. Again, this is a good program. I'm delighted to see our veterans getting some help because they could use it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a little disingenuous to say, look at this wonderful thing we did. Yeah, there was that thing before, but it had the other president's name on it, and we can't have that.
Yeah, we had to make it better.
The other thing that jumped out at me when I saw this little press conference yesterday, the president spent time talking about prices because we were just talking about prices.
And how high they are, Jane?
Well, no, how they're coming down. Calvin, I believe we have that clip from the president of the United States yesterday talking about gas prices. Can we play that clip, please?
So I just want everyone to know prices are way down. Oh. That's a big thing. Groceries, everything. Mm. If you look at fuel, $2.35 a gallon, a lot of that. But we actually had four states, where it's down $1.99.
Where? What? There's three or four states where gas is $1.99? Derek, ask him where. I'd love to know where that's happening. You were standing right over his shoulder when he said that. Can't you just lean up and say, excuse me, Mr. President, can you name those states where gas is $1.99 a gallon? I'd like to be able to tell my constituents.
I mean, if you'd like, I could give you some gas price information right now.
I would be curious.
This is according to gasprices.aaa.com. Okay. This is a website everyone can go to check out what the gas prices are in individual states. You can actually break down much further, but right now the average gas price in America is $3, about 14, 15 cents as of today. This is an updated daily at with the highest prices, of course, in California on the West Coast. And in Illinois too is $3.44, but in Mississippi right now that is the lowest price. It's $2.71.
That does not sound like $1.99.
That sounds nearly a dollar more than what the president has said. And grocery prices, in fact, are not going down.
No.
We just spoke about this. They are going to be going up. They have already gone up, and this is one of those things where. I my big mistake last year was talking about the economy like everyone understood the economy as if I understood the economy, which I'm not a math guy. I'm not a numbers dork. But this is kitchen table economy stuff, your groceries, your gas, back to school prices. You cannot, with a straight face, look at these stories and say, oh, the president's right. No, he's not. Your groceries are going up. And that's just what's happening to all of us.
Well, just if you're curious, you might want to call Derek Van Orden's office and ask him, where are those three or four states where gas is $1.99 a gallon? Because we're just curious, and he should know. He has access to the guy who said it yesterday. We'll include a contact number for Mr. DVO. You can also find it at wivote.gov.
Myvote.wy.gov. Yeah.
Put in your address.
Yes.
And then contact info for all of your elected officials. Will come up. We have news on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.